Join us for the next half hour as we look at God's Word. Right now, we are continuing to go through the Sermon on the Mount. Right now, we're in the Lord's Prayer, the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, deliver us from evil. And we are looking at one of the ways that God delivers us from evil is preemptive. He gave the Ten Commandments to prevent us from experiencing the evil that God, that the devil would love to bring into our life. And so that is what we are looking at today. And I want to say happy birthday to a very special person in my life. He will not hear this today because he does not live in this area, but he is a gift from God to our family. He's a gift of God to the church that he belongs to, serves at, and I am very, very thankful for my brother. That's what's going on today. He is celebrating his birthday, and I got just a little bit younger today because he got just a little bit older. He's got a great, great testimony of not only what God did in giving him grace to forgive him, but the grace that God has given him to empower him to live the life that once seemed so very far away. So happy birthday, baby brother. We love you. Today we're going to start off in Proverbs chapter 12. We are looking at you shall not covet that which belongs to your neighbor. We're going to start off today by looking at the alternative lifestyle to coveting and what the lifestyle of a believer is supposed to look like. A believer is not supposed to be bound with a heart that is set upon, a fixation upon that which belongs to other people and is constantly trying to figure out a way to cause that possession to end up in their coffers instead of the person that rightfully owns it. You know, we talked about that with Ahab and Nahor's vineyard, where Jezebel went and had the guy killed and then said, hey, go down and take possession of it. He dead. He's not going to use it anymore. And when he got down there, Elijah was there and said, yeah, that's not the way you're supposed to behave as the king over God's 10 northern tribes. So let me take you today to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to read verses 11 through 14, where it says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding, or literally heart. There is another meaning. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. So let's look at what the lifestyle of a righteous person looks like. First of all, it says in verse number 11, he who tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. Coveting at its very base element is a manifestation of dissatisfaction. It, by its own declaration, says, I am not content with what I have, and I'm going to make sure that I add to this situation one way or another. Well, there is a manner in which that person does not want to do it, and that is through hard work. There are not that many farmers anymore. Israel had an agrarian-based society, and you will see different mindsets in this passage that we look at today that will basically describe how are we going to get our needs met. So the Bible says, he who does not work shall not eat. Now, that does not mean that the person who cannot work cannot, not will not, cannot work. In that case, society, now they did not have the social safety net that we have here in America with disability income and Social Security and all of that. There was really supposed to be a very intimate connection there with family. That was the original design. And I've told you the story before of watching a Hollywood actress and her concern that she expressed on one of the late night shows, which I didn't normally watch. I just happened to watch one night as I was flipping through the channels. And she was just really frustrated because who was going to take care of her elderly family member? And I was laying in bed and it was like, you're a multimillionaire. Here's a newsflash for you. You have been equipped financially to be able to be a blessing to this family member that you are so concerned about. That concern should manifest itself in you helping to take care of them. So God also created the church for that. But there were also means in society where people would provide some income through gleaning and things like that that were to go to help the poor of the land. But make no mistake about it, if you were an able-bodied person, you were supposed to be actively working your land. And so here in Proverbs chapter 12, it says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. I think that we as believers need to not only have a tremendous worship ethic, we need to have a good work ethic. That when we work, we work. Right now, I am experiencing, we, for the past several months, we had been, you know, painting walls and changing out interior doors and putting on baseboards and just doing a lot, putting down floors and lots of upgrades in our home. We finished that just a few weeks ago. And I will tell you that when I get home from work and I don't have to do more work, right now that feels really, really good. You know, it's dark so early, you don't get to go out and mow your grass, and plus the grass isn't growing that much this time of year anyway. So just to go home and be able to do what, you know, is relaxing. You know, I still have, you know, take care of my own laundry and all of that sort of stuff. We're not just constantly working without any margin in our life. It's talking about he who tills his land, who makes sure that the ground is prepared for the seed, that it is tilled, that the rows are planted, that the seed is put in the ground, that it's covered up so that the birds of the air don't come and steal the seed before it has an opportunity to do anything, to make sure that the land is watered properly and weeded properly and cared for and watched over. But you don't keep tilling the land day after day after day. And the person who tills the land God's way says, you know what, we're going to do this for 6 years, but on the seventh year, we're going to give you a year of rest because the land needed its rest. And at some point in time, Israel went into captivity, and Jeremiah said, this captivity is going to last 70 years because for 400 plus years, the land didn't get the rest that God wanted it to have for 490 years. And so as a result of that, the land is going to get its agricultural rest while you all are in captivity. So, but if we work the land the way that God tells us to work the land, it says, you are going to be satisfied with bread. Now, God in his word says that he provides seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it's not just that he provides seed, but he also provides the bread. you have to be careful not to get the two confused. You don't want to eat your seed, because if you do that, you do not have any bread. Look at how it describes the life of this person who works his land. He will be satisfied. Satisfied. The very opposite of the lifestyle of a person who covets. A person who covets is dissatisfied, but a person who works what God has entrusted to them will be extremely satisfied. But he who follows frivolity is devoid of heart or devoid of understanding. Okay? And so it would, I know the temptation is there to go off and live life frivolously or foolishly, live life without wisdom, and set your heart on the partying lifestyle instead of the work. My son had this conversation with me several months ago. Seems like it was 2 months ago, so it's probably six. And he's like, "Dad, I don't understand." He said, I make a good living. I work hard. He has a great job. He's in management, and he also has another business that he and his wife have. They work hard on top of being parents and actively involved in their church. And he said, "I don't understand." He said, "People who don't have as good a jobs as I've got, and they're my age, and all they do is they go to, from one luxurious vacation to another luxurious vacation to another luxurious vacation. How are they affording that?" And it's like, you know, son, they may not. They may just be kicking the can down the road. But while they're, and actually from what sociologists are telling us, that the generation that is coming up is more concerned, the generation that's now entering the workforce is more concerned with enjoying life than they are about, you know, a job that is going to provide for all of their needs. And so they expect beginning to have all of the luxuries that they were accustomed to while they were growing up in the home of somebody who worked very, very, very hard. And it says that whenever you are more fixated on the frivolous than the functional, that there's a heart problem, there's an understanding problem. And so I don't know about you, but I don't mind setting my heart upon work. Rather, because I know it's going to sustain me in the end, and I want to be satisfied. Okay? In verse number 12, it says this: "The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit." So let me just talk about the righteous for a little bit longer. I don't want to always talk about the negative here, but it says this: "The root of the righteous yields fruit." The righteous person is grounded, attached. There's a lifeline between the righteous person and the sustenance, the nutrition that is necessary for productivity, that flows through this person's life in an unseen manner. See, the root is never really observed, but it is that lifeline between the provision and the person. And for us, that lifeline is Jesus. And I don't ever want, I mean, you become detached from that, and you're going to find that you're not nearly as fruitful. I will tell you this: Christians are not only meant to be called, or not meant, let me try this one more time. Christians are meant not only to be faithful, but they are meant to be fruitful. If you look at the parables of the talents, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it is the fruitful servants that receive that commendation of faithfulness. There is no disconnect between faithfulness and fruitfulness. And so if we're not being fruitful, we need to make sure that our root is healthy, that it's grounded. Okay? What about the wicked person? The wicked person covets the catch of evil men. This, the wicked person sets their heart upon how can I appropriate the work that other people have done. Think about that just in some of the social engineering conversations that are taking place right now about redistributing things. People who don't want to do anything but party or celebrate or move on to their next high or move on to their next drunk. Their next hangover. They're just looking for the next buzz in their life. How can I appropriate something from someone else's life into my life? I tell you, that is not the right mindset. God says, I want you to be connected. I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to work hard because there is satisfaction in that place. Okay? If you want to grow in your faith, I want to challenge you to do this. Go up and ask your pastor, do you have a class that I could sit in, that someone could mentor me so that I can become a teacher? The reason I say that is because whenever you are assigned to teach someone, you are going to learn more about that subject than you're going to be able to communicate onto your class. And so it seems backwards. It seems like as you go and you teach that the students might be learning, but actually you learn more. I learn more doing this radio program than I can communicate to you on the radio program. I'm limited to 27 minutes and 28 seconds with the intro and the outro of the radio program, 27 minutes and 28 seconds. There's no way that I can communicate everything that I get in my notes to you in that period of time. But I learn a lot. And so sooner or later, it comes out in my teaching. Verse 13 says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Okay? So the wicked person, the person who doesn't work their land, the people who's looking to benefit off of other people's work, this person is ensnared by the sin of their own lips. Their lips will betray them. I've had a few times in my life when I was sitting there, sitting in a position of an observer, and someone said something, and I said, do they realize what they just declared in a public forum? And in one of those situations, I said, does that person realize that they just confessed that they are a liar? And the person that was sitting next to me laughed and said, they did, didn't they? They just said that they lie at least on an annual basis. The wicked, listen, you can't remember every lie that you told sufficiently to be able to cover up all of the other lies you've ever told. So the wicked are ensnared by the transgression of their lips. But if you're a righteous person, listen to this, but the righteous will come through trouble. The Bible never promises that you and I will never experience difficulty, trials, or tribulations. But it does say that those things will not be victorious. It does say that we will come through them, not just come to them. And so I want to encourage you. Right now, you may be in the storm of your life. You may be facing trials like you've never faced before. and you recognize in your spirit that there is an end, there is an expiration date to that challenge or difficulty, God will bring you through it. A man will be satisfied with the good, with good by the fruit of his mouth. There's the second time in verses, in four verses, that the Bible's talked about us being satisfied. And I don't think that just means satisfied with our palate. I believe that that is talking about a contentment in our life that reaches the very core of our being. And it says, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. You put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Don't look back. The Bible says that whatever you put your hand to do, that it will prosper. Okay? So if you're working hard, and maybe you're like me, you haven't seen the harvest come through to the degree that you wanted to yet, don't give up, because there is a promise. God's not going to short your paycheck. God's not going to short the reward. Work to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it unto the glory of the Lord. I want to take you over to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. In the Ten Commandments, we're going to be in Proverbs 28, verse number 16. In the Ten Commandments, the commandment to honor your father and mother is described throughout the Bible as the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise. And that is that you will live long in the land, you will enjoy the land. Okay, there's great benefit to living a life of honor. At the wedding of our daughter, her husband's parents were talking, and they said, we trained our kids that honor your father and mother not meant only to give honor to them, but to live your life in such a way that it will bring honor to your parents. That you live your life and people will honor your parents for doing such a good job of raising you. And it's like, wow, that's quite a thought. I want to live that way so that people see the goodness of God. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 16 says this, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. And so a person who is in charge, a person of authority, is meant or is placed in that position with the mindset of being a servant to his constituents, a servant to the people. But Solomon writes here and says that a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. A ruler who doesn't understand that he's there to serve the people comes away with the understanding that the people are actually there to serve him. And as a result of that, he begins to oppress the very people that he was designed to serve, to edify, and to enhance. I'll never forget when I first came to the church, one of the men of the church said, a dictator has no problem staying in power as long as he's willing to kill his own people. And it's like, and that was a person who had seen the life of a dictator or two in his lifetime. He's been with Jesus now for several years. Oppression is a manifestation of coveting. If you remember when we started this earlier in the week, we talked about a person who sets their heart on longing for things that belong to other people, that they will be very cruel in appropriating those things that other people have to themselves. So they don't mind killing Naboth to get his vineyard. They don't mind, doing horrific things as long as they get what they want. But he who hates covetousness, this is a ruler who hates covetousness. Remember, we talked about that back in Exodus chapter 18, that the leaders of the people, whether it was over hundreds, thousands, fifties, or tens, that if they were going to be a leader, they not only had to be a person of ability, they not only had to be a person who loved God, they needed to be a person who hated covetousness, that they could not be persuaded to get sidetracked to where all they were doing was longing for what other people have. You know what we call that when a ruler becomes obsessed with coveting? We call that corruption. Because sooner or later, that coveting is going to result in an abuse of power where they will either start selling their services or extorting their services to get what other people have. I've heard people said, heard it said of people that they hung around with a certain class of people, even though they didn't have everything that those people had. And it created in them a lifestyle of coveting to where they eventually could fit in with that crowd. You know, the crowd I want to fit in? I want to fit in with the crowd that has set their heart on Jesus and realized that the things of this world are all going to pass through the fire. And I want to go through life with the one who says, when you're going through the fire, I'll be there with you. That's the person I want. Let's set our heart on Jesus. Let's be people who work hard and realize that we have the commandment of promise that if we hate covetousness, we're going to prolong our days. We'll see you tomorrow. Right.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.